Good morning to the East Coast Mind Jammers, I guess. Mind Jammers. Mind Jammers. Kind of like a wind jammer. It sounds kind of cool. And this is day two of the East Coast Mind Jam. And right now, Patrick Redfern is giving his lecture. And so we're sitting there in a dealer's room, kind of waiting for the onrush of people. But I got Ben Salinas with me right now. Hey there, Ben.
Hey.
Good to have you.
Good to be here.
And thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoy the podcast from time to time that you tune in. And how are you enjoying the convention so far?
It's great. Being a magician, this is actually my first mentalism gathering.
Yeah.
So I've only ever dabbled in it up until about a year ago.
I was going to say, I've never seen you like at the Mindvention Vegas or anything.
But you will now. This is great.
This is a gateway to the Mindvention.
Oh, it's wonderful. there's so much talent here. It's fantastic. I mean, I'm just last night, just with Doc's, you know, 5-hour long lecture that we did, you know, talking up till 6 in the morning, just my head is just spinning with things. So you'll be seeing a lot more of me around mentalism circles.
So what made you decide to come to this one?
The lineup.
Okay.
There's just some great people, and I couldn't pass up, you know, not seeing all these guys.
Yeah.
So, I have so much material from so many of the
guys to begin with. Now
right.
To see the actual guys do it themselves.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And just to get a feel for, you know, for who they are, you know, and it lets you know a little bit more about, you know, when you read their book.
Right.
Once you know them, you can read the book sort of with them in mind, and it kind of gives you a deeper feeling of what they're talking about.
So right, exactly.
I love it. Just
yeah.
Great.
Well, kind of like Richard Osterlin over here. You know, are you going to be going to Richard's workshop? Have you signed up for that then too? On Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're getting then a lot more deep into mentalism. I say you're dressed in black, so you're appropriate. That's part of the attire.
It's
you know.
Left over from my magic art.
Okay. So are you thinking about doing a strictly mentalism act at some point, or are you just going to add some mind things, or what do you think?
I've already tooped it out a couple of times.
Like
I've
what?
Done, I've done about six fully mentalism evening shows.
Okay.
About an hour and a half. And I really enjoyed the feeling I get from it. It's just a very different reaction from the audience.
Yes.
And the thing that just really resonates with me is after maybe the first one or two tricks that you do, you notice a shift in the audience.
Yeah.
They go from, "Oh, that was wonderful," to, "Oh my gosh."
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just see the audience sort of shift into that mode. They've stopped, I guess it's that suspension of disbelief, or the willing suspension of disbelief. I don't see it as much in magic, but in mentalism, in the shows I've done, I see a definite moment when that happens. And it's really an interesting, neat, empowering feeling.
It is.
So it's wonderful.
You can tell, you know, that as I have added more and more mentalism into my act, the same thing in which that I'm doing comedy and some fun and it's mystery and people are laughing and applauding and everything. And then whenever that you do a book test or whatever, it's kind of like, huh? And then you wonder, what did I do wrong? All of a sudden they're not applauding.
Right.
You know.
Right. And it took me a little while to get over that too.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Two or three effects in, they're all going, wow, but they're not applauding.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Right.
Am I not getting this? Am I stumping them? So some after the show interviews with people, they're like, oh, it was incredible. I just didn't know what to do. You know, where did you learn that?
Yeah.
But when did you know you could do this?
When did you, realize you have these powers?
Right. I'm now a little stumped, you know. I'm like, what do I say?
I'm the seventh son of a seventh son.
Right. This is the day I first read Edelman's book. And, oh, no, I can't say that.
Now, let me ask you, do you use any kind of electronic stuff? I mean, you know, color match or anything?
I don't. I'm all, you know, human powered.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was just talking to Christopher Taylor, so that may change very, very soon.
Well, he's got some very good stuff over there. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, definitely.
So what would you say is one or two of your prime pieces that you do in your show?
I have a book test. It's a three-book test. So it involves, you know, multiple people from the audience. Plays a little bigger than just a book test. I really enjoy that. I'm having a lot of fun with a tossed-out deck that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So using an old Bagshawi deck, which I really enjoy that method. And it's just the presentations that I'm having fun with. It's not so much the trick as much as the involving a ton of people in one thing.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing the individual reactions. So far, those are my
that
big
is pretty
favorites.
Cool, then, that you can do a lot more, use a lot more people from the audience because they are using their minds, you know, so they can participate. Instead of coming up on stage, they stay in their seat and actually participate.
Right, instead of one person picking the card and having it appear on the big board or whatever,
mm-hmm.
a whole bunch of people in the audience are all being affected.
Or even like a Prince's card trick, you know. if everybody's, you put the cards up and then everybody's involved with it.
Right.
You know, if we got your card, you know, let's hear your applause, you know, kind of a thing.
Right. And I have a stack of Q&A resources now that I'm building.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'd like to try to move into a Q&A because it is, yeah, as Bob Cassidy says, the major effect.
Yeah.
You know, and since I'm really enjoying those bigger effects that are involving more and more people, I thought, wow, Q&A is the natural step up. And that involves potentially the entire audience, or,
right,
or at least it looks like it involves the entire audience. Everybody has the possibility of having their questions answered.
Yes, yeah.
So,
yeah. Because everybody's involved. That's right. I like that. You're not going to get to everybody, but at least that they don't know that. They might think, oh, he's going to get, it's like winning a lottery. Everybody's going to buy a ticket.
Right.
You know, and they feel like you're participating somewhere.
Exactly. Well, you know, I saw Vaynerchuk back at Penn State, where I live.
Yeah.
And I was in the audience, and I filled out the yep, slip, and I sent it in. And here, me, Mr. Magician, I'm like, boy, I hope he picks mine. I hope he picks mine.
Sure.
And I'm like, wow, if I'm thinking that, everybody else in this room, who's just, yeah, a bunch of students, they've got to be like just bouncing in their seats hoping that he picks their
yeah,
card.
Right.
You know? And I knew if he saw mine, he'd be like, oh, throw it away because he's dead. You know? So, but if I had that feeling, then
yeah,
just, wow.
Yeah.
So I just need to find a method that I like and then find my own way of presenting it that I feel good with.
Now, that was something I did not know until the last evening when Doc had said, well, how many DVDs do you have out? You have 46?
46, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Do you put them out? A problem. You're an addict.
Yeah.
You don't buy them, you put them out, which is a nice thing. You're on the other side
right,
of it, you know. Do you buy other people's DVDs? Who
oh,
do you like? And so,
oh my gosh, everybody. Everybody.
Okay.
My library is pretty diverse.
A magic and mentalism.
Mentalism, gambling.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the stage magic. I've got close-up magic. It's you name it. Manipulation. I love it all.
But what kind of stuff have been on yours? I mean, there's been more of a central focus on the DVDs you put out?
It's mostly been close-up magic.
Okay.
So, because that's the big seller. That's the thing that people can learn and go do right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly been close-up. A lot of coin stuff, so mm-hmm, which is great because I love coins. A decent amount of card stuff, but yeah, mostly coins, cards, things you can do just anywhere, anytime. Not a lot of setup or.
Have there been one-trick DVDs? Have you put out any of those kinds of things, or have they been
no,
a variety of things?
Actually, the Rob likes to go for quantity, so he
okay,
likes to have a lot on the DVD.
Yeah.
So what we did, he asked me about color changes one day. He's like, could you do like a DVD of 10 color changes? I'm like, oh, sure. And I researched and came up with 49 of them. So,
yeah,
and then rounded out with an even 50. So we did a DVD of 50 color changes. So,
wow.
So which was great. I felt like it was a nice encyclopedia of color changes.
How long was that? Like an hour and a half?
It was two DVDs, two hours long.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so, and everything, you know, nicely credited. It was great. I was able to find the sources for everything, and it just made me feel really good that I got this sort of encyclopedia out there to people.
Right. And do you record them in the same place? Do you have a studio? Or
there's a studio that we go to in Sioux Falls.
Okay, so it has the same look and feel for all the DVDs. In
right, place. Right. We try to change it up, try to get some different people in there to be my assistant and try to change the backgrounds around a little bit. So.
Right, right. And so for people who want to find out more about that, where can they go?
They can start from my site, salinasmagic.com.
That's S-A-L-I-N-A-S.
Magic.com. Right.
Magic.com.
Exactly. Salinas,
okay,
California, not Salina, Kansas.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So. But they can start there. That's probably the best place to start.
Yeah.
And just to go on YouTube. Type my name into YouTube, and you'll find a zillion shops selling my stuff. So.
Okay. Okay. Well, cool. But you're not a dealer here. Again, this is your first mentalism convention. You're just here
yeah,
kind of as a
I'm just
mind
a
geek.
Right. I'm a mind geek.
Or a mind jammer, I guess, right now for East Coast Mind Jam.
A jamette. I don't know if I've acquired complete jammer status yet. So, but maybe by Sunday night.
Well, you didn't put on your jammers last night. You said you were up till 6 in the dock talking.
Until 6:30 when we
wow,
left the restaurant.
Okay.
So, yeah, we won't be doing that tonight. So.
Gotta get some sleep sometime. That's right.
I'm thinking lunch, probably.
Yeah. One quick question. Since the podcast called The Magic Word, what is your magic word?
My magic word?
Yeah. What is it, something you live by? What's important to you? It could be, you know, in the context of your show, or it could be in something in life. You know, what do you? What's important to you?
Fun.
Fun.
Have fun with what you do. Enjoy what you do. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
If you're having fun, the people around you are having fun.
Yeah.
And it just, they feed off of that, you know. And then
perfect.
They should walk away feeling good. You should walk away feeling good. So fun.
It's a win-win. Good. As Ben Salinas here at the East Coast Mind Jam. Day two. Scotty out. Still in the dealer's room over here, and as right now we've got, we just finished with Patrick Redfern's lecture this morning, and right now Devin Knight is in the next room lecturing, and as we're doing that, the dealer's room's kind of thin, so we have time to chat, and so I've got with me a good friend, Joey the C. How do you pronounce your last name? Cursillo?
Cursillo.
And you're from Philadelphia?
Well, originally from Philadelphia, now living in Hershey, PA.
In Hershey, okay. So, do you do stuff with the Hershey Candy Company at all?
I used to back in the 90s. I haven't worked for Hershey since about 96.
Okay. Yeah. So you got your fill of chocolate, I guess.
Yeah, I did. I was the in-house magician at Hershey Park for years. Yeah, for private functions.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I gave that up. I couldn't do it anymore.
So. Now, you've been doing magic because you were known as Joey the Sea, the medalist to the mob or something.
Yep.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, Joey unfortunately was convicted and is doing time.
Okay.
So Joey hasn't made any appearances in about a year now. So, yeah.
How much more time will he have before he's going to be out?
He's going to be doing a very long, but if somebody can come up with enough money, I can get him a furlough. I'm sure I can bribe someone, but I'm trying not to.
Now, I've not seen you at the Mindvention out in Vegas, and I know that obviously you do mentalism a lot, and so this is kind of in your neck of the woods, so it was easy to get over here.
Yeah, it was easy for me to get here. Mindvention will be on the list. I will be getting there at some point in the future.
Yeah.
My best way to answer that is I've got 2 months till my wife and I go empty nest, and then I have some free time.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Yeah. And not a free pocketbook, but you'll have free time.
That's right.
So. Because, yeah, I got that college thing to pay for. Yeah. Finishing up. Yes, it'd be nice to kind of empty nest.
Yeah, that's the only reason we don't make it out is we're both too busy.
And I understand.
Both of us are in court all the time. We don't have time to travel.
Oh, she is also
a judge.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, my wife.
And you can't work in her court, obviously.
No, but I can go in and make faces at her any time I want.
For those of you who don't know, Joe has also been a trial attorney, and also had written a book. What's the name of the book? I forgot.
It's Performance on Trial, The Case for Better Entertainment.
And tell a little bit about that.
Yeah, the book is a perspective on what we do as performers from the standpoint of a trial lawyer, explaining how to present yourself better on stage to accomplish the goal you're seeking. Mm-hmm. And it walks you through the process of how a trial lawyer thinks, or actually how I think when I'm on stage.
Do you use that as a textbook for your students then too?
Well, when I teach lawyers, I don't use it because when I teach lawyers, it's the opposite, where I teach lawyers how magicians think.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the primary focus of that is focus. How weird is that sentence?
Yes.
Yeah, we actually teach them how to control the focus of the jury and make sure the jury sees what you want them to see, when you want them to see it, timing, your character, everything that goes into what a performer knows.
Right. So in the process of voir dire or selecting the right jurors, do you ever use any mentalism tips in trying to make sure you have the right ones selected?
I think that the answer to that is yes, every jury. I basically am cold reading every single person in that jury. The only problem is I can't ask them any questions on those lines.
Sure.
But I can ask certain questions.
It has to do with the way they're dressed, their ethnicity.
Oh, absolutely.
There's so many.
In fact, I'll tell you a funny story. Just this week, Monday, I had a trial.
Yeah.
And we had a juror sitting in the front row. Mm-hmm. And I always say that the last thing I want is a juror that wants to be there too bad.
Okay.
So I'll give you the juror that was sitting in the front row as I stood up and went classic. He is wearing a pair of black khakis, a pair of old black dress shoes, a white dirty shirt with a brand new tie and a shawl collar tux jacket.
Wow.
And I looked at him and went, this is a hillbilly that wants to be on the jury way too bad. We struck him rather quickly. But, I mean, that's the perfect example. If you cold read, you looked at him and went, no, it's not happening.
That's like somebody in your audience that you know who is going to be overly enthusiastic and jumping up and down might be really horrible on stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or you look at people's faces and if you see, the typical thing is someone that's burning holes through your client.
Yeah.
From the more go, has to be removed.
Right.
On the other hand, someone that rolls their eyes at the cop stays.
Yeah. Okay.
They're the typical things we look for. But yes, cold reading is always a part of jury selection.
Interesting. There was something else we started to get off on another topic last evening when Doc Hilford was performing. I'd forgotten. There was something about you're not teaching in college, but you are teaching law students, or not law students, but.
No, I am currently teaching with two other magicians, both out of the Philadelphia area, both civil lawyers as well. And we are teaching for the Pennsylvania Bar Institute. And we basically right now are in the middle of traveling around Pennsylvania and teaching trial lawyers how to be better trial lawyers. And the name of the course is Performance on Trial, Magic in the Courtroom.
That was it. So and, I was wanting to get off on that. So yeah. Magic in the Courtroom. And so those two guys are magicians too.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, the Magic in the Courtroom, Performance on Trials comes after my book. Magic in the Courtroom is the result of a series of articles written by Mark LeWinter, who teaches with me, and Michael Amar. Huh. The two of them wrote some articles, and Mark and I got together and made this course. The other guy that teaches, Steve Leventhal, is the only one of the three of us that actually does magic tricks in his closing arguments.
He actually does?
Yes.
And, like rope tricks or something?
Yeah,
what does he do?
And, he actually does. Has done bill changes. He's done patio forces, actually, in settlement conference. He has done, trying to think of some of the stuff he's done. I can't think of the name of it. It's the pen cap that keeps changing.
Recap?
Recap. That's it. Yes, sorry. But he's done that.
Like Gregory Wilson?
Gregory Wilson, yes. But he's done that. He's done a number of things. And, in fact, he got a motion filed against him that went viral because they filed a motion to prevent him from doing magic in the courtroom, and he responded with an answer requesting the court to make the plaintiff's motion disappear. And it went viral, and it's still out there. There's
never saying viral. I mean, is that like on YouTube or what?
The motion
on the National Review or what?
Oh no, the motion was filed in the morning, and it was posted on the internet by somebody. And Steve, within 3 hours, got phone calls from people around the country. And by the next morning, we knew it was on websites in Great Britain,
right.
The Barrister Society there. Also, it was posted on an Australian site.
Right.
And if you search Steve Leventhal, it's just wild.
So what was done? What was the result of it then, ultimately?
The judge ordered that he can't do magic in front of the jury.
At all? Ever in the future? Or?
No. In that one case. And he doesn't care.
So does he do something almost like in a trade show type of environment where you're actually, okay, well, this will represent this or whatever, quality service or something to do with linking rings or kind of a thing?
That's what he does, yes. It's not just, I want to entertain you. He delivers a message.
Make sure there's a message involved in there saying, these items do link together, you know, that he did this and that, so you can kind of,
absolutely.
See what it can be used. Yeah,
that's what he does.
Huh.
And it's, I'm trying to think of one of example. Well, the first thing he ever did years ago was talked about somebody who saw the name of a boat pulling out of the harbor that had caused damage.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, for his sake, it was just perfect. The boat's name was The Illusion.
Oh, wow.
So he actually did changed a 1 to 100 and said, is it really what the guy saw or was it just an illusion? And, made his little point. And he did win that, by the way. That was 20. Steve and I went to law school together. So that's, we're old. 28 years ago.
So when you're, time flies. Well, you said you have a child that's getting out of college here.
Yeah.
So whenever that you're going around and teaching, lawyers, do you teach them any tricks at all, or you just use that in the context of the presentation?
Everything's in the context of presentation. The only thing we do is at the very end, we teach them some basic tricks that they can take home, like a card trick that they can take home.
Is it like a workbook or something?
No. We teach like a cut force or something simple that they can just take home and do.
Yeah, entertain the family.
Yeah, and then they get a deck of cards with all of our names on the back.
Well, that's good advertising.
So that's how we end. But other than that, it's not like there's no need to teach them how to do magic.
Right.
It's just to understand what we do is more important.
Well, let me ask you, and bring it back over here then to the East Coast Mind Jam, how are you enjoying this?
Oh, this has been a blast. I actually need some sleep right now. But
were you up late also after Doc's?
Doc and I got back to the hotel last night at around 6 with 3 other guys.
There was one of the other fellows I talked with, Ben Salinas.
Ben was with us, we got back 6 a.m., so it was a nice, wonderful night.
So that's why I haven't seen Doc. He's getting caught up in the sleep because he was up late the night before, too.
We're all adjusting to the nighttime schedule.
Okay, that's why there's the bags under the eyes.
Absolutely. That's why this is on audio. You don't see what I see.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. And so, what are you looking forward to at this convention of learning or seeing? Or
you know, I got to be honest. I saw who was coming and said, I just want to hang with my friends. That's mm-hmm. what this is all about.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited that there's so many people here that I haven't seen for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's good seeing you too. It's been a while as well.
I was just going to say, and you're one of them. So glad you're here.
Yeah. Thank you, Joey. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it.
I was just thinking, I haven't seen you since probably since 08 or 09.
I was going to say, was that the TAOM? No, it was MAES.
MAES, which was a year later.
Yeah.
Or 2 years, whatever it was. But
you know, that talk show that I did, we were talking about last evening then too, as it happens that I understand that tomorrow the Mark Spedlam is running a little bit late because he anticipates right now his flight from London is going to be delayed. So I may be doing a little bit of a talk show tomorrow, actually, as a, you know, not a panel discussion, but I'm going to talk with a few of the guys like I normally would, you know, in a, just kind of a chatty exchange. So that'll be kind of a little bit different format before Mark arrives.
Nice, nice.
Well, that's a surprise.
That talk show was a lot of fun. I was happy last night. I didn't know that you were still doing that. Last night when you told me that, I was very happy. Yeah. Very pleasant experience watching you do that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Joey. I appreciate it very much, you being a part of the podcast here again and a part of this. Let me ask you, since the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, what is your magic word? What is something that you live by? What is your credo, your motto? What's important to you? What's your passion?
Be happy with everything you do or don't do it.
Man, couldn't have been said better.
That's
Joey
to see. All right, man.
That's him. Thanks very much.
You got it.
And for the Magic Word Podcast, Scotty out. Well, we have finished. Let's see. This afternoon we had Jim Sisti just finished up with his lecture. I think we're getting ready for Richard Osterlund, but then Teb Karmilovich is going to be having his. But yesterday was Doc Hilford Day, and I've got with me Doc Hilford. Hey, Doc.
Oh, man. Scott, it's good to see you.
You too, my friend.
My friend.
And I'm sorry that some of the other guys, I did a shout-out for John Stetson. I wish that John could have been here, but he's got that work thing. I guess work at the castle this week or something?
Okay. Yeah. Or no, he just finished it, and then he's back on the road doing crazy stuff.
Okay.
He might be back at the castle. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't follow him.
Well, you know, he is on Facebook a lot. It seems like he's living there. But back to you.
Yeah.
So that last night, that was you just been crazy off the hook kind of a guy that I mean, you could have gone on, and in fact, you did with some until 6 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's in the pool that you like to swim.
Yes.
And this is a really nice, haven't you found that too?
I have.
Really nice group.
I have met some people here who I have seen or are friended on Facebook, and it's like, hey, Scotty, you know, come on, we start talking or listen to the podcast or whatever. And I've had dinner with them and just been great guys.
A lot of people like that, and Osterlund was saying this too, a lot of people that you know through emails and phone calls for years and years and years, and now we're seeing them face to face.
Well, it's interesting here, don't you think, it's got a little bit different feel than the Mind Vention.
Completely different.
Because this is up in the Northeast, and there are a lot of guys here who have never been to a Mind Vention, and this is almost a gateway. I've been talking to some guys saying, I'm going to the Mind Vention. After they've been to this, it's like, I'm going.
Yeah,
after that thing.
Both. So it's, this is a lot of excitement here.
Yes, there is.
And that's why you're up till 6 a.m.
Well, you were the ones who excited people yesterday. I've got to say, I don't know how to put this into words, Doc. Look, I've got goosebumps talking about this. The workshop you did yesterday, because you're saying, I want to make sure everybody's got $150 worth of benefit over here, and I thought, I did. I felt like, you know, that I really got a lot of really good ideas. And what I was trying to say,
so they know that nobody paid that other, that was included in your registration.
In your registration. No. Exactly right. That was included as part of the registration. But the point is that it was really more of a workshop than a lecture. And I don't know how to describe that, because in a workshop, I typically think of a hands-on kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know you wanted to hand out things.
Right,
had
we
gone on until 2 or 3 in the morning, we would have done that. And with those few guys who went to breakfast with you, I'm sure it did. But the point is, it was not in a lecture, but it was, most lectures, of course, are interactive. You can ask questions, you know, from the floor, etc. And a lot of people were doing that, and everyone was engaged. And let me just say about how excited they were to be there. It was 12 o'clock, and not a soul had left. You know, that shows how that they were engaged with you. And you started like at 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
you know.
we had fun.
Oh, it was so much fun.
And I think I said at the beginning, we want to kind of make this evening like we're all just a few people sitting at dinner,
exactly,
and
having
fun.
Yeah.
And so it did kind of come across.
It had that
there
kind
were
of
only
feel.
Three or four people in the room when there were almost 100, right?
Yes. No, you broke that fourth wall for sure, as if you were sitting down at dinner, you know, with
good,
us.
Good.
And so I like the idea of that dinner with Doc thing. I guess I'm sorry that didn't come about. So is that an idea that you've got in mind?
A lot of people emailed me about that and said, can we get, you know, 10, 12 people together and have a dinner with Doc in my city? Yeah. So, yeah, I am going to do that.
I'm You've never done that before, but you
No, no, that was the first
you
idea.
You had the idea and said, by golly, I'm
so
gonna
that's what we're going to do. We're going to, I'm going to try to do, rather than the lecture, that we all get together,
yeah.
we do a little something, we eat something, we do some more, and it may go three, yeah. 4 or 5 hours, we don't know.
It'd be nice, you know, in a restaurant where you can actually maybe have a little banquet room or something. It's going
right.
to be a little quiet area.
Room,
because you can go on for the whole night until yeah. they finally kick you out after the bar closes.
And just have a great time.
Yeah. yeah. And so, you have everyone's email addresses, and you got just an expansive email list, so you'll let everybody know if
right.
this is coming
to their
city.
And anyone who wants to be on that list, yeah. just go to DocHilfordProducts.com. Doc with two C's.
Two C's.
Yeah, thank you, and one L, right?
Yeah.
And then you just put your email in, and you're on the list,
yeah.
and you'll get all the notices, and we can set it all up for different cities. But, right. yeah, I had so, all the way to Japan, people said, no, I've got people ready
really?
To do, a,
to do dinner?
A dinner with Doc, but we're not, we're in Japan.
Yeah. It has that perfect alliteration. I just like dinner with Doc. It's like, oh, that sounds
well,
cool.
You can thank Neil Schreier for that.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yeah, that was his.
Okay.
He goes, why don't you do dinner with Doc?
You see, I just came up this morning with the idea, since this East Coast Mind Jam, everyone who is here, they're mind jammers.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
You know, and you've been up so late the past couple of nights, no one's had time to put on their own jammers. You know what
I mean? I hope you like jammers, too.
That's right. Yeah.
And Joey's going, holy
that's right.
cow. We better run, because
that's
I think Richard Osterlin's starting
right,
right now.
But I want to thank you very much, you know,
thank
for
you,
that's
Scott.
All I was saying.
And all your listeners, thank you guys, too.
Yeah.
It's
all right.
Good. We're all going to be friends after we keep interviewing and running into
that's
each
right.
other. It's, you know,
that's right.
It's a small
and,
world.
And a little bit later, I'm going to have you do something very special. I'm working on actually a Christmas gift to my listeners. You know, you helped last
oh,
year
yeah,
with
yeah.
it. I got something special this year that I'm going to have you help me. We'll talk about
perfect.
Later.
Perfect.
For now, that was Doc Hilford. And for the magic word, Scotty out. Well, the show is over, and we've just finished the evening show, and I got to MC the thing, and it was kind of fun. Did you enjoy it there, Ned?
It was great. It really was.
Yeah.
It was that ending was really wild.
Yeah, yeah. Then we finished with Richard Osterlin doing his full one-hour corporate show that he does. It was pretty cool. Eric, that you got a minute? You want to stand? You want to say hello or something? That because I was kind of getting just a few other people's ideas, random. Because I got Joe Atmo here with me too. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
And he was in the show, so it wouldn't be fair to ask how. Well, of course, I was great. What
well,
you said, Dunninger was wonderful.
Well, I was great. Dunninger was great. Yes, indeed.
But Eric Dittleman, good to
yes.
see Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you. Always good to have you on the podcast, and you know, one of our popular guests. Need to have you online more often. I think you and Simon Lovell are kind of now neck and neck for the number of times you've been on here.
Oh yeah, wow, really?
That's an honor.
I guess.
But how'd you enjoy the show?
Oh, it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was the first time I saw Joe. It was Dunninger Act.
Yeah.
That was really, really fun. We talked about that for a while, about how just it really brings you back into that time period. And you get to
that you remember from when you were a child.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, that you've only read about.
Yeah.
So I get to see it for the first time.
Had you read much about Dunninger? I mean, are you a historian?
I kind of just picked up things as I went along with my background and learning all the mentalism stuff. And
right.
Of course, he's like one of the top names, and seeing
right.
a recreation. You're saying like maybe the closest thing that comes to that is like Mullica doing the Red Skelton stuff,
sure.
but it's not as interactive as you know the Dunninger show that Joe does, and it's great to see kind of that juxtaposition of the old stuff with the interactive audience that's live and
right.
experience it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like the. The way that you decorate the stage, then also, of course, you know, with the microphone, it's going to be, you know, looking like the old style.
Oh, exactly.
Microphone.
Exactly. The replica 1940s NBC microphones, and they sound great and they look great, and I think
it's a real working microphone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I have three of them. They line the stage. I have, when I do my full show, NBC on air lights. And just all the props are either period props, or replicas. My slates are actually the exact size of Dunninger. So, yeah, I had them recreated. You know, I'll use original newspapers from the 1940s, and of course all the routines are exactly as Dunninger would have performed. And they still kill today, you know, 50, 70 years later.
Now, did you just hold on to those newspapers from the 1940s?
He did, though. Yeah, he had tons of articles and stuff. But, yeah, there's places that supply everything. Because I try. The whole point is, when I do the full show.
How long is the full show?
The full show is actually, 30 minutes. But then there's bumpers before and after. And in the beginning is my announcer and director come out, warm up the audience, just like you'd be in a real show. Talk to the audience, get them in the mood. There's applause cues, just as you would see in a real radio show.
Right.
Then the show countdown begins. I come on, I do my show, and then it ends. And what I actually found is, after I finish it, even with the general public, I do a Q&A session, meaning not the traditional Q&A mentalism, but I ask the audience, and they ask questions about the era, Dunninger, the time, the 1940s. And it's really interesting to get that kind of feedback about how they enjoyed you know, the show.
Well, you know, I was curious that, it was like on a radio broadcast, and you've seen Dunninger perform on the radio when? What years?
44.
So you don't remember. You've never seen that either.
No, I'm not that old.
No, I was going to say, you or I, either one, are the very old.
I saw him in the early 60s, late 50s, early 60s.
This said roast, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right, buddy.
I just want everybody else to know whenever they're out in podcast land.
Oh, yeah. Ed Russ.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I saw him on stage at the Kears Theater in Charleston. That was the same theater that just went right out of my head. Thurston had his heart attack.
Oh, really?
Before he died, yeah.
In Pennsylvania?
West Virginia.
West Virginia,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, West Virginia. I just happened to see him, and I was like.
Now, what year was that?
I was about probably 13. Yeah, about early 50s, late 50s, late 50s.
What do you remember about his act?
The big memory I have, and I tell everybody this, they look at me like I'm crazy, is the thumb tie. Mm-hmm. Because he did the thumb tie, is it in the ending effect?
You do the thumb
tie? I've always been in love with that.
No, I do not. But I was thinking the thumb tie, the linky ring, and the egg bag were the three traditional routines that he actually used, magic, to warm up the audience. Mm-hmm. And so before he actually went on the air.
The radio audience.
The radio and the TV audience. Mm-hmm. He'd do those routines. And then he would never mention it again, but he's warming them up with his magic.
Right.
Which I think is great.
Well, I was thinking, again, when you're performing over there and where the audience was adding up numbers and everything on there, that since it looked like that you're behind a radio, that wouldn't you or shouldn't you be describing to the radio audience, they are now adding the numbers together, saying what they're doing? I mean, you that instead of having any dead time on air.
Yeah, well, actually, if you listen to the Dunninger shows, there is some kind of dead time during the concentration.
Okay.
Had this been a full, this was a segment, and I really wasn't doing the radio thing. If I was doing a full radio thing, yes, it would be, Eric, would you please take the deck of cards? Now, please notice the deck of cards. Take them out of the case. Shuffle the cards.
And explaining them exactly as if that you're talking to a blind person.
100%. And I'm actually lecturing tomorrow on that.
Okay.
And you would actually see what you say could potentially be different than what's happening. But it's almost like a dual reality from the 40s. Because I could have prepped Eric to choose a card by using a weird method. However, the show begins. I do that pre-show. The show begins. Eric comes up. I give him a deck and I go, please choose a card. Audience listening thinks it's, I'm just choosing a card. But the guy who I pre-showed is choosing it my way. And so there is a slight...
Dual reality. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And he's not concerned because that's what he was told to do.
But at that time, it was just taking advantage of the medium you were...
Exactly. And you can still do that today in television, which is what I do and what you do. So.
Yeah. So are you still discovering things that he had done in his act? I mean, when you talk to people, you know, like Ed, saying, well, I didn't know he also did this or that,
yes.
You know.
Yes, because the tradition was always that he ended with the slate test that I did.
Yes.
And Ed tells me today he actually saw him end with the thumb tie, which, it's, you know, for a historian, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'll be going home and learning the Dunninger thumb tie, which is actually in the 16 Thumb Tie Gem book.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yes, it is.
Who wrote that? Who's 13?
Adams?
Those are perfect. You know why?
Maybe Adams. I can't remember. But it's from the 50s, and he contributed his method. By putting out my books, there's all, every, like, 6 or 7 months, somebody goes, hey, I found the script. Or an old producer from a show, which, unfortunately, they're all pretty much dying off from the 40s.
All the magnetic tapes are gone.
Oh, yeah. That's being just falling apart. Most of the stuff was tossed out. It was only meant to air once, so you just toss it. But every once in a while, I get an email or a letter from somebody that worked on the show, And maybe they only have one story, but it's another story I can just put in my pocket.
Yeah, yeah. So would you change up the act from time to time?
Always. So I did a four show run in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Every single night was different, just as though you would be watching a Dunninger show.
Yeah.
So every night's different. The effect I did tonight, the card routine, I haven't done that in a couple years, but it's straight from his show. And I actually use my books as reference. What do I want to do tonight? And I just go through.
Okay, so I think I do this. Exactly. Pick from that. Okay.
Yeah, it's great fun.
These are some of the things I want to talk about tomorrow whenever we get together, you know, with our talk show thing then, too. And Eric, I'm going to have you on it as well. Absolutely. Tomorrow morning.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be here, aren't you?
Tomorrow morning?
That might be different.
Mornings are tough. Yeah,
I'm talking about noon, 12 o'clock meeting.
All right,
morning.
That's still technically morning for me, but I'll make an exception.
Yeah. Hey, come on. I'm still on West Coast time, buddy.
Yeah, you got plenty of time to sleep.
I was just happy to squeeze this conference in because I came in straight from Massachusetts this morning at 5 a.m.
It's great to see you again.
Heading off to Vegas right after this.
Yeah,
that's a fun stuff.
Busy guy. And speaking of that, so you're going to Vegas, you said, on Monday then for a corporate show out there?
Yeah. The show's actually Tuesday. I'm going to try and actually meet up and see some of the shows out there.
You're going to see the new Magic Jam
I contacted Banachek to see if I can get in there. He says it's pretty popular. What is there, last week, I think? Or they're closing down soon.
I think they're going to run through mid-April.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I know they're closing soon.
I'm hoping so, because I got a couple guys who are planning on going. Like,
it was great. Even better, he just didn't tell you.
It was great to see Banachek here this week. Here, did you see him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Saw his picture. Yeah, he was supposed to have come, but if it hadn't been for, again, you know, having to fill in for Chris Angel, that he would have been here then as well.
Yeah, but come on. On one hand, you got Banachek, and on the other hand, you have Dunninger. Give me a break.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wait, and you got Osterlin.
Yeah, and Osterlin. You know, it all has that kind of a ring to it, you know, like Dunninger, Aneman, you know, Osterlin, Banachek.
That's why I just go by Diddleman.
What's that really tall guy's name? Florida?
McCambridge? Jerry McCambridge? No.
No. What is it? He's a tall guy, very loud, and he's back.
We don't know what his degree is.
Oh, yeah, the one you hear in the background. That's right over there. Yeah, Doc Ilford. But yeah, speaking of Diddleman, it's kind of funny because was it Sharon? What's her name?
Sharon Osbourne.
Is she the one that said, "Oh, you should change your name. Get rid of Eric. Just say Diddleman."
Stern.
Howard Stern said, "Yeah, just change it to the one name."
Eric, do you have any more names you could drop too?
Pick up a few more. Hey, Scott brought it up. He brought me over here.
People like to hear what you're up to.
What's the item?
You up to what? About two something?
Purple Bow!
That's right. All right. Well, Doc Ilford's getting a big round of applause from the bartender and the bar. All right. Well, let's wrap this up over here. Thank you guys very much. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Diddleman, Eric. Thank you, Mr. Dunninger.
Okay.
For the magic word, Scotty out.